Father, I thank you, Lord, for our fellowship and our gathering together. Even now, we give you honor, we give you praise. I pray against every distraction. Let our minds be focused. I declare that our minds are focused on the word of the Lord. Praise God. We declare also that the entrance of your word, even now, will bring light and will give understanding into our hearts of what the Spirit of God is saying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this epic series is something that we've been doing now for a few days. And the Lord's been encouraging us this year. Actually, past couple of years, we've been out here, you know, bringing words of encouragement on Emerge series, Quantum Leap, Prophetic Repairs, and now this epic series to bring encouragement to people. But I guarantee you that they're not just vain words. You know, it is what the Spirit is saying, and we need to take advantage of it. You know, so a few weeks ago, after we finished the Prophetic Repairs series, if you missed that, you should listen to the series on replay. I was thinking, what is the Lord going to do next? What is he going to say next? And this one dropped into my spirit like that. And I said, oh, my goodness. And, you know, started to think and meditate about it. The Lord started to show me more. And here we are sharing it. So this epic series, we're spelling epic as an acronym, E-P-I-C. We have covered the E, which is for engagement this time around. You know, the E, this one is different from the one in the repairs, but we've got to engage. This is more of a strategy, series. You know, the other one was more of what the Lord was going to do. This is more of a strategy series. You know, how's the Lord actually going to do it? What part are we going to play, and where is it going to, you know, end, or how is it going to end for us, you know, for this year? So the strategy of engagement, we talked about that a few days ago, the rules of engagement. Then, you know, 2 days ago, we talked about the P, which is to push limits and not allow these artificial limits, which we set sometimes to keep us back, push ourselves beyond, you know, those limits, you know, and reach out, you know, stretch out the curtains of our habitation. The scripture says, you know, look out and see more. You know, we talked about pushing old limits to new horizons. See more. We define the push, the limits, the horizons, and so on. And then we did a powerful review over that yesterday. Today, I want to talk of the I, which is really inspiration of the Almighty for increase. That's right. Inspiration of the Almighty for increase, or you can say increase through the inspiration of the Almighty. This is really the theme for this year, the year of increase, you know. In order for the Lord to increase us, he has to take away all the shackles and different things and restore us back to where he wants us to be. You know, in order for you to plant and build, first you have to throw down, cast down, pull down, and root out. You've got to do these things. That's what, you know, the Lord told Jeremiah. So some of those messages go into different dimensions in order for the Lord to get to where he really wants us to get to. But it's all really about increase for us for this year. That's really what it is. You know, and the Lord said, look, I've set you this day over the nations and kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and then to build and then plant. So that's why the Lord is doing what he is doing. So let's talk about inspiration of the Almighty for increase, or increase through inspiration of the Almighty. Same thing. The inspiration of the Almighty is something that is near and dear to my heart. And I've been talking about it for a while. at our church here on the platform around me and so forth. And, you know, many people have heard it. It has worked for me and continue to work wonders. I'm going to kick off with that, actually. Inspiration of the Almighty. So the verse where that comes from is taken out of Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Powerful scripture. You know, the background to that scripture is about, you know, the friends that are around Job. You know, some of them are older. One person is younger. And all the things going on around Job. And the younger man is, you know, waiting for the older to speak out of respect. But he really didn't like what they said. So he decided to throw out his own words. Say, well, I waited for you guys because you are older than me to speak. But, you know, he was not impressed with what he heard. You know, so he said a lot of things and so forth. You know, and one of the things also that we've learned is that, you know, increase comes from God, and it's not, you know, it's not the thing that we can just grab at without the Lord's inspiration. So this inspiration, it comes from the Lord. And remember, this series is about strategy. That's what this series is about. So let's read this story in Job chapter 32 and see how this all came about and what exactly it says. And if you have never had, if you never learned this as a memory verse, you should add it to your list of memory verses. And I gave folks this memory verse many, many months ago to learn this. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty, you know, gives them understanding. But let's read the background. You know, Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Bezerite, answered and said, and this is Job 32 and verse 6, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and did not dare to show you my opinion. I said, days should speak. The older people should speak. A multitude of years you teach wisdom. You know, so, you know, he waited for them, but he wasn't quite impressed. And he said, the aged do not always understand judgment. You know, so therefore, you know, let me speak now. And I will show you my own opinion as well. He said, well, it's not just the length of days that give you wisdom. Some wisdom comes from that, actually. You know, but there is an inspiration that comes from God, which didn't come from learning. It just comes from God. You know, how do you put yourself in the place of that inspiration? Because the increase that God's bringing this year is going to be by inspiration of the Almighty. And that inspiration is so key that we need to talk about it a little more today. You know, God will give us understanding. And it comes by inspiration. It is good for us to study, to show ourselves approved, to for us to learn about things that we want to get into. And we must do that. We've talked about that. But there is something that God brings, you know, that is even beyond, you know, sometimes just our studying, you know. God can bring understanding to you when you don't even know anything about the thing that God is putting in your mind. There is a way that God can open your understanding and put instruction in your heart. You know, let's read from Job chapter 33, the next verse, next chapter to this, actually. As that conversation continues, you know, it talks about, you know, what the Lord can do, even how he can bring instruction. I can put understanding even in you, even while you are sleeping. He said, in a dream, in a vision of the night. So Job 33 and verse 15. When deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed, even while you are sleeping, then the Lord opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Put instruction in your heart. Even while you are sleeping, it can show you how to stay away from trouble. It can also show you how to, you know, actually get good gains. You can do it. You know, some people call it in the subconscious. But it's the Lord working in your mind. When you get up and you find out that you suddenly have a new idea, all of a sudden, light bulb goes on. And something say, my goodness, you just have understanding of something you didn't know before. And I'll tell you personally for myself, this scripture has worked for me, even in bringing the word of the Lord. You know, sharing the word of God, most of the time it's just by inspiration of the Almighty. You know, most of the time, it's not because of, you know, studying. And so I do study, but most of the time it starts off with an inspiration, a word that the Lord will just drop in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit. Sometimes he'll tell me a parable. Sometimes he'll show me something. Sometimes he'll give me some words. And sometimes he'll just inspire something. And so then I go search it out. And sometimes the Lord will couch it in a way because he wants you to dig deeper. Doesn't always reveal everything. He'll just show you a little bit, you know, and then draw you in. You've got to draw you in. That's how the Lord works. If you don't come closer, then you won't get the full thing that the Lord is showing. Now, inspiration from the Almighty may start with God actually showing you a phenomenon. You know, and then, but the key thing at the end of it, what's all behind it is the word of God. That word can come to you, you know, in your subconscious, can come to you, you know, in spoken word, can come to you in written word. We've got the logos, the written word of God. We've got the rhema, spoken word. We've got something that God can put in your mind. You know, some people call it impression or whatever, but it's all about God's word. And that's what we must hear. Ultimately, we must hear his voice. Jesus said it. My sheep hear my voice. When the shepherd goes before them, he calls them and they follow him. They will not follow a stranger. So ultimately, it's about the word and his voice. And his voice is in his word. Now, there's a story in Exodus chapter 3, which is very important. I love this story because it illustrates this point. Moses is on the backside of the desert and he sees he's fled from Egypt. It's there in the land of Midian and so forth. And he's going to be engaged in helping to feed the flock of his father-in-law. He's shacked up with Jethro at this time. You know, and so forth. And, you know, goes to the backside, feeding the flock of the desert around the mountainside. And then he sees something happen. He's looking at, you know, an amazing sight. Well, the sight is to draw him in for the word that he must hear. So let's read the story here. Exodus 3 and 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, who was a priest of Midian. And he fled the flock in the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Now he didn't know it was the angel of the Lord at first. It's just a summary of the story after the fact. All he saw initially was he saw some, looked like there was fire. But it wasn't the kind of fire that was destroying the bush or the brush around him. But, you know, he was just looking. So he saw, you know, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now that was quite a sight. He's looking at this thing. I mean, you know that when you have bush like that, fire is burning, it will be spreading and it will be consuming everything. But this fire was just localized. It was just in one place. It wasn't spreading anywhere and it wasn't destroying anything. It was just glowing and fiery, you know, thing. You know? Later on, he figured that it was the presence of the Lord. He didn't know it at first, you know, but he just saw it. I mean, this fire was just over one particular place. And as he looked, he said, wow. You know, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. What is this thing? Why is this thing burning and not consuming anything? Why is the fire not spreading? Why is it just in one place? He'd never seen anything like it. So he wanted to get closer and check it out. See, that's how God drew him in. You know, the phenomenon was just to draw him in. The word is what he needs to hear, not the fire. It's not the fire that he needs to see. That fire is just to draw you in. Now, you know, somebody else would have just run off and say, you know. And the good thing at that time was Moses did not even know what he was seeing. So that was good. God showed him something he didn't know. If he had known it, maybe at first time, maybe he would just run off. That's kind of what we do these days. When the glory of God descends, we just run off. And say, wow, I saw the pillar of fire today. I saw the glory of God. Well, is that really what it is about? God's using it to draw you in so that you can get inspiration. And then he was trying to draw him in. But he didn't tell him anything until he came closer to check it out. And when he came closer, he said, I got to check this thing out. And as he was coming, the Lord said, stop right there, Moses. And he heard this voice and he trembled. Maybe he never heard that voice like that before. Later he would get used to that voice, but this time around I was like, oh my goodness. You know, and then he said, uncle, I'm in a closer. Place where you are is holy ground. Take off the shoes of your foot and so on. And he said, wow, I must be God. And then he asked him, who are you, my Lord, and so forth. And then the Lord began to tell him, try to give him a mission. But the inspiration did not come. The inspired words did not come to him until he drew near. There are many ways that God can draw us near. You know, draw me closer. It's a song that we should be singing. You know, every one of us, you know, how does God draw you? In many ways. But the purpose of the drawing is for you to get inspiration. When it comes, it will inspire the word that he wants to really tell you, but you must come. But there's a lesson also to learn from here, you know. And so this is another lesson to learn from this story is that in one moment, hallelujah, the presence of God can change everything. Something that was dirt and bush and rubbish. I mean, that desert was probably had dirt and leaves and rubbish and all kinds of things on it. You know, we don't know what all was on the ground. You know, it wasn't a place that was being maintained. So it probably had some rubbish. But in one moment, the glory of God changed all that dirt, all that rubbish, you know, into holy ground. Now, Moses didn't think it was holy ground. God had to tell him, you know. So that's another lesson to learn. You know, when God draws you into his presence, everything changes. Everything changes everything. Change your situation, change, you know, your circumstances, change what's around you, because he wants to give you inspiration. But it starts by he drawing you into his presence. And then we also tell people that, look, it wasn't the rubbish and the leaves and the dirt that were on the ground that God was concerned about. God called it holy ground. Moses thought it was, you know, bush. God said, no, this is holy ground. You know, so let's take that in as well. You know, when you come into his presence, everything changes. That which you thought before was unholy, unrighteous, this and that and so forth. You know, the presence of God changes everything. You know, and so people should not, you know, be considering your circumstances when you come to the Lord. You know, don't be looking around and say, well, it's dirt. It's dirt in my life. My life is this and that. Maybe so. But when that glory of God comes in, you see, because God cannot live in dirt. God cannot live in rubbish. You know, once he comes in there, he changes everything. It becomes his temple. And do you know that the, you know, president of the United States, they have this specialized aircraft that they fly in called Air Force One. And the thing is so built, it's like, you know, a mini White House in flight. They've got everything there. And when he's there, it's like he can operate and, you know, do everything from there. You know, but if he, you know, if he goes out of that place and enters another craft that was not exactly that, then all of a sudden the call, the call numbers for that other craft becomes Air Force One because the president is in it. So because he's there, the thing just changes. Praise God. You know, I watched a movie a long time ago about that. I'm like, oh, you know, that made some sense to me spiritually. You know, so when the presence of God comes into our life, changes everything. Now he draws you in for inspiration. So that's what I wanted to say about the source of inspiration. It comes from the presence of the Lord. What that inspiration, where that inspiration comes is from the word of God. The word is what you must hear. The mission came to Moses through the word. You got to hear that word. We need to hear that word. Jesus said, you must hear that word. And the sheep will hear his word. In fact, talking to the Jews, he said, you cannot understand my speech. Neither can you hear my word. Because you are not of God. If you are of God, you will hear God's word. So the goal here in this series, and in particular this lesson, is to get that inspiration from God. How do you do it? You got to get it from his word. Well, it could be the written word. It could be the spoken word. It could be the inspired word. But it's all about the word. The word is what leads us. He said, thy word, O Lord. You know, Psalm 19:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You know, the word of God is what keeps us out of darkness where we are and lightens the path ahead of us to show us where we want to go. It's all about the word. Can't do anything without that word. Now, if you're not hearing the word of God, or you're hearing it and you're not responding appropriately, something is really wrong. You know, so we need to make sure that we are hearing the word of God. And that is making our lives better. Because that's how Jesus leads his sheep. He said, when the shepherd goes, the real shepherd, the good shepherd, goes before the sheep. You know, he calls them, speaks to them. They hear him. They follow him. And, you know, they will not follow. So we got to be trained to know his voice. When we are trained to know his voice, that voice will guide us. It will lead us. If you are not trained, then you need to be trained. You know, there were some people that were not trained in the Bible, and God had to, you know, use somebody else to help them. Samuel was a young man that wasn't trained. The first few, a couple chapters of 1 Samuel, you know, he wasn't trained. Was in the temple, you know, but he wasn't trained. He was an altar boy, I could say that, helping and working for Eli, but he wasn't trained to hear the voice. The voice came, but he didn't know it was the voice of God. He didn't know what it was, ran to Eli. So Eli had to teach him. You know, same thing with Gideon. He didn't know the voice. He had to test that voice. If it is you, let this be. If that is you, let this be. Finally, they figured it out. And once they figured it out, you know, their life changed, because then God said to them, God said to them, God said to them, and God said to them. So we got to figure it out. In the book of John chapter 8 and verse 47, Jesus told the Jews, he said, well, you can't hear my word because you are not of God. But you were, if you were of God, you would hear my voice. Because he that is of God heareth God's voice. And so that's a characteristic, you know, that, you know, we must understand. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You know, so that's what it's all about, hearing his words. And Jesus, even after all that long sermon on the mount, three chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 of Matthew, at the end he said, look, therefore, the summary was, look, I'm going to liken anyone who hears these my words and takes heed to them and do according to what I say. I'm going to liken to a man that built his house on the rock that can withstand anything. But he that hears it but doesn't do it, well, be like someone that built, a foolish man that built his house on the sand. Whereas the other one was wise, this one was foolish. And this one will not withstand anything. When the winds will come against both houses. But the one that built on his rock, because he heard his word and was doing it, will stand. This other one will fall, and great will be the fall of it. I mean, you know that lesson. You know, so it is all important. So I wanted to set that stage, a background for this, because it is so important. Now, inspiration can also come, you know, from you just reading the word of God. You read the word of God, meditate on it, God will tell you something, show you something. Inspiration can come also from you just being hungering and thirsting after wanting to know God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That's inspiration. When you know, when God shows you something that you didn't learn from just learning, you know, in the natural way, that's inspiration. I mean, Jesus said to Peter in John chapter 6, Matthew chapter 16, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed this unto you. That's inspiration. When you can learn, I mean, when you can know something other than learning it in the natural way, that's inspiration. And it's going to take that for you to be on top at this end of times, especially this year. Don't take inspiration of the Almighty. That's why I'm speaking about it. To give you the increase that's coming. It's the inspiration of the Almighty for increase. And it's increase through inspiration of the Almighty. That's how it's coming. It's no other way. Now, having said that, we've talked a lot about inspiration. You know, and God can send his word straight to you to even heal you. You know, we are told. And send his word. He sent his word and heal them. When you are inspired by the word of God, we've heard testimonies on this platform. People that believe the word of God against all odds, even against cancer and different things, that believe the word of God and began to, you know, quote it and stand by it. It's inspiration. Two people might hear the word. One person is inspired. The other is not. Well, the difference is inspiration. You know. That inspiration is what gives understanding. You know, we must understand what God is saying. If you don't understand it, you are at a loss. You know, so when God tells you something and you don't understand it, go back to him and figure it out. He tells us these things so that we can understand. He doesn't, you know, what's the point of telling me something, you know, to hide it from me? If you're going to hide it from me, don't tell me at all in the first place, you know, because you're going to hide it anyway. You know, so, but that's not his purpose. His purpose is to show us these things. Even the book of Revelation says exactly that. The book of Revelation chapter 1, which people don't like to read this book of Revelation because they think it's difficult. But no, the purpose is to show and not to hide. You know, that's what he says. He said, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, the very first sentence out of that book, to show unto his servants things that must come to pass, not to hide from them, to show. Jesus said there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. There's nothing secret that will not be known. The purpose is to show, not to hide these things. What is the point? I mean, we've heard of the hidden manna back in the day and so forth. But that was then. Now, Jesus had made it plain. He said, I am that living bread, not some hidden manna anymore. You got to search for it though. Because according to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, God may initially hide it because he wants to draw you in so that you can seek after it. It's the glory of God to hide a thing, but only because he wants people to seek after it. Thou verily art a God that hideth thyself. Why? Because he wants people to seek him. You know, he doesn't hide just to hide. What purpose is that? You know, but he hides so that we can seek. You know, that's what he wants. So that's why, you know, knowledge and inspiration and wisdom is not out in the open. God shrouds it, he hides it, but then he will reveal it to some. Even the deepest roots of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, they're like that. You know, they asked Jesus, why do you speak to everybody in parables? In Matthew chapter 13, he said, well, because, you know, for them it is not given. It's hidden, but it will never be hidden from everybody. God must reveal it. Anything that God puts out there, some people must know what it is. You know, others may not know it because to them it is not given. To them it's a dark sentence, a parable, you know, closed eyes. You know, Isaiah said, well, the eyes of these people are closed. Their hearts are made gross so that they can't understand anything. Their ears are blocked. They hear, they don't hear. They see, they don't see. And they can't understand. Understanding is goal. For you to hear, for you to see, is so that your heart can get understanding, that your eyes may see, your ears may hear, and that your heart may understand or perceive. That's the whole goal. So that understanding, inspiration, is all it's about. Now, having said that, we need to constantly be asking God for that inspiration, you know, because that's where it's about. In the book of Psalm 32 and verse 8, you know, the Lord said, I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Well, that instruction is inspiration. You know, he give it to you and don't give it to others, then that makes inspiration. If it is given to everybody, then it's no longer inspiration, because everybody has it. It's inspiration because some have it and others don't have it. That's why it's inspiration. And that is the key, you know, that will make the difference for us for 2025. Remember, it is the inspiration of the Almighty that is going to make the difference for you in 2025. Now, there was a there was a lesson that we learned, you know, a time back where we talked about, you know, the sons of Issachar, you might remember, that had understanding of the times, you know. And because of that understanding, we are told that they had an advantage over their brethren and others. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, and verse 32, we read this lesson about understanding. Well, it came to them by inspiration, but they understood the times. And that thing gave them an advantage. So let's look at it and see how understanding and inspiration is going to give you an advantage. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. You know, it says, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Well, God gave them that understanding to know what Israel ought to do. See, understanding is about knowing what to do. Inspiration for increase is about knowing what to resource. Strategy is what it is. Understand what Israel had to do? You know, they were the heads, see, of their brethren. Their brethren were at their commandment. So you see that this scripture is telling us that their understanding, inspiration that they had, knowing the strategy of what to do, gives them an advantage. And so that's the advantage that God's going to give you in 2025. You may have to do some learning, but God, even if you do learning, God's the one that's going to inspire you to go do the learning, but ultimately to get understanding and to get inspiration. Now, where there is no understanding, where there is no knowledge, my people perish. You know, so God, you know, people lose their advantage if they don't have understanding. Now, let's look at increase now. We've covered enough about the inspiration and the understanding. Let's look at the actual increase. What it's all about. This is so key because that's the theme for this year. Now, in the beginning, God said it. Increase was the first benediction out of the mouth of God to the man that he created. First things he said about them and to them was about increase. You know, so that's why it is so important. The Lord said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. That was what was in his mind, you know, and so on. Let him have dominion over everything. Well, that was in his mind. He was letting us know his mind and his intention. So when God created the man out of his own image, male and female created them, and God blessed them and said, now let's see what God said to them. God said a lot of things, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let the heavens part. And God said, let the waters that are above the earth be gathered into one place. And God said, let there be signs in the, you know, the lights in the heavens. And God said, and God said, and God said. That was to all those things. Now, what did God say to the man? That was the first thing out of his mouth to the man. He's spoken to all his creation. Fine. Let's see what he said to the man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. So this blessing is for male and female. Now, God blessed them and said unto them, male and female, even though it was only Adam at the time, because God already knew that man was, you know, going to pull the woman out of him. He knew that. And this first thing he said was about increase. That's the first thing he said. Fruitful and multiply. That's increase. So that the first words out of his mouth, even before he talked about the dominion, he first of all talked about increase. You know, first of all, increase. Then have dominion. So increase is so important, ladies and gentlemen. First things out of his mouth, fruitful and multiply. That's increase. You know, and replenish the earth. Wherever you see that there's a void, bring increase there. Raise God. And then you subdue it. Then you have dominion over it. But first, increase. Now, so if increase is that important, well, let's look at some examples in the Bible and what God said to his people at different times. We've seen what he said to Adam. Now let's see how he dealt with others and then see some scriptures, you know, about increase and why it is, you know, it is God's desire, you know, for us to be increased and not diminished. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there are many things, you know, that the Lord told the children of Israel from time to time, how he wanted them to have increase, you know, and not to diminish. You can read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 3 and 5. The Lord spoke about increase to the children of Israel, gave them these words, and spoke to them in different places. I have several scriptures to share, but I'll skip some of them. But I'll share enough so that you can get, you know, the understanding of what the Lord is saying. Now, your blessings from the Lord, many of it is tied onto us, of course, keeping his word. You know, like Deuteronomy 28, he said, look, if you keep my commandments and keep my words indeed, then all of these blessings shall come upon you and so forth. You know, so, but here's what he said specifically about increase. Blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall thou be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Always talking about increase, you know, for the people of God. He said, the Lord will give you, you know, open his good treasure unto you, give you increase. You have plenty for your bread basket and plenty for your storehouse. Blessed basket is what you eat now, and storehouse is what you have later. But increase will come in every side. Listen to verse 11. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, that increase. In the fruit of thy body, that increase. And all these things, and so on. Even as the Lord thy God, you know, swear unto you, give thee his good treasure, and so on and so forth. So, Lord was always talking, I will bless the work of all thy hands. Always talking about, you know, increase. Bless your basket, bless your storehouse. When you come in, when you go out, you'll be blessed. Now that's increase. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 8 and verse 7, there's a concept that God wants us to learn. The increase may not be overnight, but you stay with it, it's coming. He said, though thy beginnings was little, the latter end will greatly increase. So something that may start small, you know, we talked about it the other day, you know, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave a parable of something that started very small, but in God's mind, there's already increase packaged into that thing. And it must grow and increase and become something powerful and something mighty. You know, that's increase. That's how it works. It's the parable of the mustard seed. Matthew 13 verses 31 to 32. You know, at first it starts small, but at the end it's greatly increased. That's exactly what Job chapter 8 and verse 7 says. Though thy beginning was small, yet the latter end shall greatly increase. And so that is the promise. Now, for this year, the great increase is coming by the grace of God through strategy that it will give you. But I'm going to describe the increase that you will get. And it talks about it in many places in the Bible. Let's read. Let me give you some verses quickly. Psalm 18 and verse 36. The increase is coming in many different ways. You know, take your pick. You know, take your pick. How is it coming to you? And what do you see in the basket? You know, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We talk about that. Show the basket full of different fruits. Say, what do you see? Well, you know, what do you see? You know, when we put this word of God out to you, well, what do you see? Take your pick. You know, it says enlarging your steps so you don't sleep. Well, enlarging is increase. Something that starts small that is now enlarged, that's increase. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me. Well, for 2025, I make a declaration in the name of the Lord that the Lord will enlarge your steps. You know, you take one small step, you know, one small step, he says, you know, but a giant leap for mankind. You take one small step, but the Lord increase that thing and enlarge it. Praise the Lord. But you have to step up by faith. Now, Psalm 67, verse 5, it talks about, you know, and I'm going to, as I read these verses, I'm going to use them to make declarations for you. So you just latch on to whichever one works for you. Praise the Lord. You latch onto it and see what the Lord is saying to you. Increase is coming. The Lord promised it. Praise the Lord. He said, look, let the people praise thee. Let them be glad and so on and so forth. You know, and he said, the earth will yield her increase. And this is something that God always wants. Even our God said, then will they yield increase when the people learn how to praise the Lord. So that's one strategy that I want you to latch onto this year. Strategy of increase. Well, let the people praise thee, O God, and let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. So that's a strategy. Come from praising the Lord. And when you praise the Lord will give you understanding of how to secure increase. But it comes from praising the Lord. Your heart, the things around you will increase. God will bless you, you know, and God will increase you when you know how to praise the Lord in sincerity. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalm 71, you know, let's see what he says in verse 21. Again, we're on the subject of increase. And I'm making these declarations for everybody. You know, he said, the Lord will bring me out of the depths of the earth, shall increase my greatness, comfort me on every side. I declare for every one of you that's on here, for this year, the Lord will increase your greatness. Remember, greatness is from the Lord. You know, it's the Lord that brings greatness. Greatness is, you know, some people, you know, were trying to be great in Genesis chapter 11. They say, well, let's be great. Let's make a tower to heaven and do all of these things and so on. The Lord said no, and he scattered them. But then he turned around the very next chapter and handpicked a man called Abraham that wasn't even trying to be great. And he said to him, I will make you great. You know, so greatness is from the Lord, but he will give you strategy this year. He said, I will increase my greatness. Comfort me on every side. Praise the Lord. So that's a promise for the Lord for you for this year. In Psalm 85 and verse 12, again, the Lord promises, you know, peace and revival and greatness and increase for his people. In this particular psalm, it's talking about, will the Lord revive his people again and so on and so forth? Well, let's hear what the Lord will say to his people. The Lord will speak peace and so forth, but don't let them go back to folly. Let them hang on to God's instructions. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield an increase. Well, you know, your life shall yield increase this year on all aspects. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will give that which is good for you this year, cause you to increase on every side. Psalm 92, verse 12, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Flourish is also increase. You start out, you start increasing, you start multiplying, you start producing. So flourishing, praise the Lord. That's Psalm 92, verses 12. And 13. One strategy from that one is being planted in the house of the Lord. Don't, you know, don't shy away. Don't neglect the assembly. There is a blessing from being planted in the house of the Lord. It causes you to flourish and it causes you to increase. That's part of the strategy for increase. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, in Psalm 115, and verse 14, powerful promise that the Lord gave. The Lord instructed me to take this promise, not only part of it, but all of it. He said, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Now, yesterday we were talking about old age. You know, forget that one. Don't let it be a limiting factor. It's not just your children alone that God wants to bless. You say, well, I'm old. Let him just bless my children. But, you know, God said no. I will bless you and your children. That's what it says. Psalm 115 and verse 14. The Lord will increase you and your children. And God taught me, I always claim that verse, but I was claiming it only for my children until sometime last year or the year before. God rebuked me about that. I said, you and your children, not just your children. Of course, your children will be increased, but you too. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so believe it. You know, don't think that, you know, you are past God increasing you. No, God will increase you and your children more and more. You know, that's what he says. That's what he wants to do for us. Praise the Lord. Many other promises. Let me see how quickly I can get through some of them, you know, for us here this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, here's another strategy for increase. Remember, I'm talking about increase coming through inspiration of the Lord and instruction and strategy. I will guide you. I will instruct you in the way you should go. Listen to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11. This Proverbs writer was a man of wisdom. He said, wealth that is gotten by vanity and deceit and lies shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You know, this is one strategy how God is going to increase you this year. You work hard, God's going to bless it. You know, don't try to cheat and supplant and do all kinds of things around, you know, to get it. No. Do the right thing, you know, and God is going to bless you. Gather it by labor. It will increase you. Now, this is not be labor also that is going to cause you to drain you. Be the right kind of labor that God will put a blessing on. Praise the Lord. It's coming for you this year. If you have been laboring and you are weary and heavy laden, Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11 and 28. But the kind of labor, you know, that you are, you know, God wants you to do is the one that brings increase. Hallelujah. When you're laboring, it will be giving you increase. And here's a promise in the book of Jeremiah. In everything, even spiritually speaking, you know, God promised it for us that there will be increase for us on every side. You will not be small. You will not be diminished, but you will be increased, is what he said. In the book of Jeremiah 30 and verse 19, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Hallelujah. It's a promise for God's people. And out of them shall proceed the voice of them that shall make merry. This year, I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus, merriment, celebrations, and so forth. And you hear more about that. And I will multiply them. That's increase. You will not be few. I will also glorify them, and you shall not be small. Hallelujah. You know, God will change the story. This year, we're going to increase. You will increase in your family in numbers. You will increase in abundance. You will increase in many things. We'll increase even in the ministry. We will not be diminished. You know, Isaiah spoke about it. And we read it the other day in Isaiah chapter 60. He spoke about it in verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one, a strong nation. God will increase something small to a thousand, to thousands. If one become thousand, then two become thousands, you know, and so forth. God will increase you. Praise the Lord. He will also multiply your seed sown. That means increase. Glory to God. We'll get to that in a minute. The book of, you know, throughout the prophets, God spoke about this thing. Whether major, so-called, or even minor prophets, he spoke about, you know, God's intention for increase. Hallelujah. Listen to this in Micah chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Why is he always telling us to arise and push and move forward? I heard that yesterday, you know, and he's going to give you the means, iron, to push. Going to make your horn like iron, your power. You'll be strong. You can break different things. Make your hoofs like brass and you beat them small in pieces. You know, I will concentrate your gain. Woohoo! You know, and I will cause your substance to increase throughout the earth. The Lord is going to bring increase for you in this year. The Lord has promised, and he's speaking it in many places. In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 38, talks about increase. You know, this is one verse that people quote, you know, ministers and different things, they quote this thing, you know, so that they want to get your money, they'll quote this for you. But I'm going to read it to you a different way. I'm talking about strategy today. So let's see some strategy out of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give. That's a strategy, you know, but, you know, some people twist it to get an unfair advantage over the minds of people. But let's read all of it and get what the Lord is really saying. He says, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, shall men give unto your bosom. Now, our women who are from Africa, you know, they know what this pressed down, shaken together and running over mean. When they go to the market to buy grain, you know, people make, the sellers make this fake mountain of grain, make the gari or whatever look fake. The women are smarter than that. They tell them, press it down, shake it together, put some more on top of it, you know, because they have a way of making it look like it's something when there's nothing there. And so the women understand that. And that's what the press down, shaking together, running over means, you know. And it's not fake. Doesn't look like fake increase. It's, you know, a fake mountain. Press it down, you know. Get all the air out of it. Press it down, shake together, press down again, put some more and so forth until you build up, you know, that container. So they understand what it means. But here is the secret that is behind that. Men will give that unto your bosom, but there is a secret. People don't read this last part of it. Nobody wants to read this last part. Nobody cares. We always take the word of God, we divide it, we throw away some that we don't care about and think that that's how it works. No. You know, when Jesus put the word for is a conjunction. That means the preceding part and the following part, you join them together. You know, for can also mean because here, you know. So these things that he said, the increase that's going to come from people giving to you and so on. But he said, look, the reason it's going to come is because you yourself, you are doing that. You know, so but that's, people don't read that part. You know, just say, well, you give me your money. What about you? You give away your money and then God will give some to you. Praise the Lord. This is the secret. You know, for the same measure, you know, he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. There is no way that you're going to sow sparingly and kind of read abundance, which is what they tell you when they want to get your money. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, in order for you to get abundance, you have to practice the same principle. This is a strategy. And the way I say it is, look, if you know how to give it away, God will always make a way to get it to you. Now, write that down. That's a good strategy. If you can give it away, God will always get it to you. That's what God is looking for. I'm going to tell you some more about that, you know, in a bit, whether today or tomorrow, if I get a chance. But look, the measure that you measure is what is going to, if you measure a little measure, don't expect a whole lot. You get a little. But if you know how to give it away, if you are a channel of blessing, then there will be a channels will break forth, come to you because you know how to give it away. God will get it to you. Praise the Lord. Now, let me develop that concept. It's so important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was talking about, you know, this concept again, you know, and he talked about something that people like to quote, but we don't quote it right. But I say unto you, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he that soweth abundantly shall also reap abundantly. This is a secret, it's a strategy. You want abundance, you know, then, you know, the liberal soul shall be blessed. The scripture says, you know, if you are liberal, and God's going to get a lot of blessing to you. Now, not to be foolish in your liberality, but, you know, to use wisdom. I always have to use wisdom for everything. But the liberal soul shall be made fat. Proverbs 11:25. And he that watereth shall also be watered himself. Now, these are some strategies. And I'm not just talking about giving to preachers. I'm talking about giving where there is need. Praise the Lord. You know, so and the preachers that want your money, they won't tell you to give to others. They want you to give only to themselves. And I'm talking about that today. I don't want anybody's money. But I'm talking about you give where the Lord shows you there is a need. Now, let me develop this concept. In the Old Testament, the blessings that God gave to the people, it was each man for himself. That was the concept in the Old Testament. Each man for himself. There really wasn't much of any communal or community sharing. You know, it was each man for himself. God called Abraham alone. God bless these people alone. Each one of them alone. It wasn't really, you know, something to be shared. You just bless them. Well, that all of that changed in the New Testament concept. In the early church, it wasn't about, you know, how much you can acquire just for yourself. This is the way it used to be. In the New Testament, we saw this ability, the people that had the capacity to earn more, you know, they would sell, they would bring, they would share. They had community. They had all things in common. Nobody lacked anything. You know, this is what God wants to do in the kingdom, you know, that so that even somebody who's a janitor and is not earning much in the kingdom, they can send their kids to the same elite schools like those that can afford it. You know, they can't afford it, but they can do it because the community come together to do it. You know, and it doesn't make any difference. You know, Ivy League school or whatever, their children can't afford it. The community comes together and they sponsor that. This is the concept in the kingdom, which we don't know anything about, but it's coming. It's got to come because that was what was in the early church. Those that had, they gave and they distributed to the necessity of the saints, you know, and Paul was always writing about those things. Now, God wants us, look, everybody's not all going to be at the same level, but it's not going to matter. See, in the kingdom now, it doesn't matter. Everybody, God will just do it. Those that have excess, they know how to bless others. That's what's in the kingdom. That's how it works. Why do you think God gives you excess? Because people don't understand it. Many of us, supposedly who are in the kingdom, we're still living as if we were in the Old Testament. When the Lord gives you increase, you go out on a shopping spree, you spend everything, you blow everything off, and so forth. Well, that didn't end well for the one man called the prodigal son in the Bible. Got a lot of increase suddenly, and he went and squandered it. It didn't end well for him. When the Lord gives you more than you need, there's a reason for it. It's not for you to go on a shopping spree and spend everything. And then afterwards you begin to be in want. No, that's not how it works. There's a reason for it. And if you know how to give it away, God will always make a way to get more to you. There's a secret behind it. I got to talk more about that in a subsequent lesson, you know, but I'm going to wrap this up today. I haven't finished on the subject of increase. There's so much more. I have to take part two of this because there is so much more to say. But I've been speaking for about an hour now, and you know, that's enough for now. Next time, I'm going to show you the lessons of how God gave people tremendous increase in the Old Testament. Then we're going to draw a parallel in the New. What God is looking for in the New Testament, just like we see briefly in the early church, is, you know, kingdom financiers. It's what God is looking for. Not just so much to amass the wealth for yourself. You don't know what to do with it. You can't carry it out of this world. Only what you do for the Lord is going to last anyway. You know, Jesus gave some principles about that. Don't lay up your treasure in things that will perish. Put your treasure here and there, you know, that God can use it for increase. Hallelujah. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, there's a strategy in that also. If I have time, I will explain it. It's not where your heart is, there your treasure will be. That's what people say. Say, well, I don't support that thing because my heart is not in it. Well, that's not what Jesus said. It's the other way around. Jesus said, if you put your treasure into it, then your heart will be in it. Praise the Lord. You know, if you have treasure in the house, we have vessels in the house. Some are treasure. You put them in nice china. You know, the ones that are not so much treasure, just throw them in the, in a cupboard or closet or somewhere. You know, but the treasured ones, you put them somewhere. They're treasured because your treasure is there. Your heart will be in it. Protect it. You know, I have a couple of cars, you know. The older one, I don't treasure so much anymore. When the new one came, I put the old one out. Put the old one out in the street. I put the new one in the garage. Treasure. Your heart is in that thing because you treasure it. You know, that's where your heart is. If you don't treasure it, you know, then your heart is not there. So it's not the, it's not like we think. It's actually the other way around the kingdom. When you support the thing, your heart will be there. And it actually gives me an indication of how people's heart are in something. People who are supporting the ministry, and I know their heart is there. You know, they are not supporting. Well, maybe their heart is not there. They're just nonchalant. They don't really care. They don't support. But when you care, I mean, when you put your treasure there, it shows that your heart is in it. When you put your treasure in the Word of God, and what God is saying shows your heart is in it as well. Well, I'm going to wrap it up there because it's been, I've been speaking for about an hour. So let's wrap it up. I'll try to finish this up, part two of it, you know, tomorrow by the grace of God. You know, so again, wrap up what we've said today. Increase through inspiration of the Almighty, or the or inspiration of the Almighty for increase. That's how it comes. We have talked about inspiration, why it is so important. And now we're talking about increase, the strategy that is behind it. Both from inspiration and some other things that God wants you to do in order to be able to sustain the increase. You know, some people, they don't know how to sustain it. Sometimes God will put something into people's hands, but they can't sustain it. You know, there was nothing wrong with the prodigal son asking for his, you know, what's coming to him. He asked for it early. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people blame him for that. I don't blame him. What I blame him for, he didn't use wisdom in managing that sudden increase. I don't blame him for getting the increase. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Well, he asked and his father gave it to him. He didn't steal anything. He asked and they gave it to him. So nothing wrong with that. So, but if you get it, well, you have a strategy of using it so it can increase and sustain that increase. But people don't have strategy. They lose everything. You know, so we'll talk more about that by the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson. And this is part one on increase through inspiration and strategy from the Lord and how we can actually sustain that. The things that God wants us to do, you know, to get increase in 2025. Now, there's some increase that will come from the Lord, you know, but he will draw you in to show you how it's coming. Praise the Lord. And we must come closer to the Lord to get more inspiration from him. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to yield my mic for shares now. Took a little longer time today because we started late after doing all the singing, prayers and birthdays. But it is Saturday, so I'm a little more relaxed. I have some more time. So Father, I thank you, Lord, and I give you the praise. I give you the glory. We have shared your word. I pray that this word will energize something in our hearts. Say, wow, what is the Lord saying? The disciples said, wow, did not our hearts burn within us while he spake these things to us? Or there's something burning inside of you saying, Now that's why something has been tugging at your heart. Lord, I pray thee for in out of this room, it will be raising kingdom financiers, those that will understand the concept of managing wealth in the kingdom. You know, God will bring wealth to us. We must understand how to manage it. God will not put it in the hands of people that don't understand it or want to hoard it for themselves. That's the way of the world. In the kingdom, you got to be a channel of blessing, a tributary, you know, just You can distribute, you know, like a river that breaks up into streams, you know. Lord bringing it to you, and then you break off into channels. Be a blessing. Hallelujah. When I want you to know that when God blessed and put increase upon Peter, suddenly, and their boats were filling up, they called out to other boats, come and take off this blessing. You know, that's the way of the New Testament. And we're sharing these things to you today, so that God will inspire them into and you know, impact and change your way of living. We give Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.